Happy New Year to you, Guitar Geek. I am so excited to ring in 2020 with you. In fact, if you're anything like me as a Guitar Geek, likely you put a couple of festivals you maybe want to go to on your calendar for the year 2020. And I've got great news for you, because in today's episode of Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to share with you my five top blues festivals you need to have on your radar. And I am excited to dig in, because each of these festivals is either something I just found out about that I want to share with you, or one that I've actually been to, and I want you to have the same experience. In fact, one of these festivals led me to multiple discoveries that I'll reveal on today's show a little bit later. For now, let's actually dig in to the blues festivals. The very first one I want you to know about is the Chesapeake Bay Blues Festival. This is held in Annapolis, Maryland, and this year it'll be May 16th and 17th. Between the setting and the lineup, I think you'll know why this one is on my list. So let's take a look at some footage from last year. Festival is on my list because, well, mainly because of the setting. I've never been there, and judging by the rest of my list, I didn't have anything on the East Coast, so I'm like, I have to have something for my East Coast friends to go to, hence the Chesapeake Bay Blues Festival. Now, I'm hoping that this year it doesn't rain like it did during that video, but nonetheless, you can see how well attended the festival is, and I think that's a testament to the lineup and, again, the location. Right on the water, it just looks so cool. It looks like a fun, relaxing couple days of blues music. Now moving on to our next festival, coming in at number four, and this is one I just found out about, but one that, it was one of those things that when you find out about it, you're like, how the hell did I never hear of this before? And coming in at number four is the Mississippi John Hurt Homecoming Festival. Now, they have not released dates for it this year, but judging by my research and past years, it looks like it's being held, or maybe being held, in October in Carrollton, Mississippi. And between the lineup of acoustic musicians and the location, this festival has all the blues mojo you could ever want. Let me rephrase that, all the acoustic blues mojo you could ever want. So here's some footage from last year's Mississippi John Hurt Homecoming Festival.
Drunk up in Mississippi, I woke up down in Mexico.
So I think you can see what I mean there. I mean, you got two artists right there, and that's not even the full lineup. Taj Mahal was also last year, and between even those three, Dom Flemons, who's a fantastic player. I think Dom Flemons is one of those players that you can hand any instrument to him, and he'd be like, oh, you play it like this, and he just knows. And then you've got Guy Davis, a former Acoustic Tuesday artist, and somebody who I've seen here in Bozeman who puts on an incredible show. And then the location. I believe it's at the Mississippi John Hurt Museum. I'm not sure on this, but I believe that's his old homestead there. And it just looks so vibey. You got the old truck there. I don't know. It's someplace I definitely want to go. I picture that being a Guitar Geek vacation hotspot, if you will. And if I'm talking real here, Bozeman in October is generally really cold, and I'm assuming Carrollton, Mississippi is much, much warmer. Which brings me to the third festival I want to mention. Coming in at number three is a festival that's dedicated entirely to acoustic blues. Yes, it's true. The Port Townsend Acoustic Blues Festival is a week-long event that not only has concerts of acoustic blues musicians, but workshops and jamming as well. So just to give you a sense of what goes on at the Port Townsend Acoustic Blues Festival, here's a quick clip of what happened last year.
There's nothing quite like getting together with some good folks and getting into some good music. That's not always easy to do, though. Sometimes, it's hard to find the time. Other times, it's hard to find the players. For an entire week, every summer, though, Centrum turns the historic Fort Worden military base in Port Townsend, Washington, into a veritable blues village. Blues enthusiasts gather around from all over the continent to dedicate an entire week to jamming, learning, and watching some of the best blues music going. Visit centrum.org for more details.
Again, that was the number three position, the Port Townsend Acoustic Blues Festival. And a couple of standouts there. First of all, they have these workshops, right? And one of the staff on these workshops is Orville Johnson. And if you are not familiar with Orville Johnson, he is an amazing instructor. Between flat picking, acoustic blues, fingerstyle, slide, you name it, he seems to be able to teach it, and in a very, very fantastic way. One that's easy to understand, and he's just one of those effective teachers that I really look up to, and apparently he's on the staff at the Port Townsend Acoustic Blues Festival, so definitely something that should be on your radar. That happens, of course, in Port Townsend, Washington, and this year I believe it will be happening in the month of July. Now, if you're looking for details on any of these festivals, I'll tell you where to get those here in just a moment. But let me finish out with the number two and number one positioned festivals. Number two is the one that I most recently found out about in a discussion with my dear friend Charlie Parr. We were backstage at a show, and we were talking about art and music, and he handed me this book, and I looked at it, and I said, wow, this is amazing. The Waterfront Blues Festival. Well, it turns out the Waterfront Blues Festival happens in Portland, Oregon, and it is quite the long-running blues festival. I want to say it's been going on for 32 years, and they hope for 32 more. And judging by the amount of people that go and the overall response, it looks like it'll probably make it. So this is definitely one I want on your list. It's the number two position, the Waterfront Blues Festival in Portland, Oregon. And here's their thank you video from last year. Looks plain fun. Between the amount of people in attendance, they got fireworks. I know that has nothing to do with music, but they got fireworks. That seems like a way to cap off a good night of blues. Anyways, that's one that should definitely be on your list. Again, that's July 2nd through the 5th, 2020, and that's in Portland, Oregon, the Waterfront Blues Festival. And actually, that's not the last time I'll be mentioning that festival on today's show. Some other discoveries were made and doing some research, and I'd like to thank Charlie Parr for those, but we'll get to those a little bit later. First, I have to reveal the number one festival, the one that I have the most intimate knowledge of, because it was one of those moments in my guitar geek journey that, it was a formative moment. And yes, I'm biased about this festival. It happens this year, June 5th through the 7th, in Chicago, Illinois. Yes, it's the Chicago Blues Festival. Recently moved to Millennium Park, which is a stunning backdrop for some awesome music. And just so you get a sense of how cool it looks and the vibe created by this festival, here's some clips from last year. So this festival, let me just, okay, I got to tell you a quick little story, and then I got to gush on it just a little bit more. So I went to this festival probably in, I want to say it was 2003, 2004, somewhere in there. I was going to college in the suburbs, community college, and I saw that the Blues Festival was coming up. I was just getting into guitar. Johnny Winter was my guitar hero. And I thought, I need to go to this blues festival. It seems like the place I need to be. So I go with my girlfriend at the time. She was miserable. I was super happy. And anyways, I have to say this. It was pure magic. From the moment I stepped off the L, the train, and started walking through the city, hearing the music, approaching the festival. It's a free festival. Then I believe it was held in Grant Park, if I'm not mistaken. But anyways, it was just magic. I just walking in and all the music around. And I remember they were giving out free picks, Chicago Blues Festival picks, and I thought, this is the coolest thing. I have the official pick from the Blues Festival. It was a very guitar geek moment. Like I said, it was a formative moment. But one of the things that struck me was there's all these different stages of music going on. And the one that I gravitated to was the acoustic stage. And that's how it is with a lot of these festivals. There's multiple stages. You got the headliner stage and then kind of the side stages. But anyways, the acoustic stage is the one that I gravitated towards. And it was called, I think it was called the Acoustic Juke Joint. And I just remember watching the artists on there, a lot of them local artists who I'd never heard of before, just go out there and pour their heart and soul into their music, and it was so fun to watch. And I just gained so much respect for those musicians, but guitar players as a whole and the blues tradition as a whole. I just thought it was one of the coolest moments that I've had as a spectator, as a blues lover, as a guitar geek. It was so amazing. And then beyond that, here's the geeky story. So Johnny Winter, I believe, was headlining that year, one of the nights. It's a multiple night festival. And that was in the band shell, but you had to pay like an upgraded ticket cost for that, or you had to pay a ticket cost for that. And I was in college and I was eating ramen noodles and peanut butter and jelly, so the ticket was not in my budget. So I just remember leaving the festival, walking past the fence around the band shell and seeing them set up for what I believe was Johnny Winter, my guitar hero. And I just thought, it was so, everything was magic about it. Just being able to see them set up, being able to, this anticipation of the show, which I didn't see, but nonetheless, it was still cool to be in the area and kind of feel the mojo. In fact, that's one of the things about the Chicago Blues Festival that I think is so incredible and impactful. And that is, you're in the epicenter of the birth of really urban blues. And electrified urban blues, you know, obviously the birthplace of blues is much further south, but you know, just down the street, you've got Buddy Guy's Legends. There's also a place called Chicago Blues, which is kind of a museum slash art collective that's dedicated to the blues. They even have performances there. And then there's also Kingston Mines if you go outside of the loop a little bit. But it's just that you're immersed in a blues environment for a few days, and it's so worth your time and so fun. So if you're planning a trip to Chicago, make sure to maybe plan that around June 5th or 7th. You'll be able to reap the benefits of the Blues Festival. And of course, if you live in Chicago, it should definitely be on your list because it's a free festival, super fun, and I think it'll go down as a great guitar geek moment for you and your family. It's a family-friendly festival as well. So those are my five blues festivals you absolutely must check out. To learn more about each of those, please visit acousticlife.tv/AT124. You'll see a link to each of those festivals, and also, if you look at that list and you say, Tone, Man, you really missed my area. I'm not going to go to any of these places. Don't worry, there's a link for a blues festival finder. You can click on this link, and it lists festivals by location. You got the Northwest, Southwest, Central, Upper East, Lower East, etc. And you'll be able to find a festival that's in your area, get the dates, get all the scoop, and be able to live out one of your Guitar Geek resolutions for 2020. And also, you may notice that the last couple episodes and this episode and some upcoming episodes are going to be blues themed, and that's because we're working up to our 5-day blues challenge, which launches January 27th. Yes, it's going to be 5 days, each day learning a brand new 12-bar blues progression in the key of A. New techniques, new styles, new chord shapes. It's all for free. Stay tuned to Acoustic Tuesday for all the details. All you need to know right now, though, is that it starts on January 27th. And, well, we're using these upcoming episodes of Acoustic Tuesday to get ourselves in the blues state of mind. And I think you're going to really enjoy what we've got coming up. But we can't appreciate the future without looking to the past. Last week on Acoustic Tuesday, we discussed your 2020 Guitar Geek New Year's resolutions, and we went through 10 of them, and there were some dandies on there. This week on Acoustic Tuesday, you've already learned about 5 blues festivals that need to be on your radar. You're also going to learn about an artist who absolutely loves music, but doesn't play an instrument at all. You're going to find out about 2 guitars with a unique bond, and holy smokes, we're going to go back in time for our Artist of the Week. That's all coming up right after this. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar Geeks, unite. Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 124. This is the show where you're going to learn about acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your very best acoustic life. As with all episodes of Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to share with you my Guitar Geek list for the week. But before I dig into that, well, first I have to wish you a happy new year. But second, we have a long-standing tradition on the Acoustic Tuesday show, and that is Guitar Geek Trivia. Here is your Guitar Geek Trivia question. And this one, well, it's very blues-themed, as I do believe you'll notice. What was Blind Lemon Jefferson's true first name? One of my favorite blues artists of all time. What was Blind Lemon Jefferson's true first name? Was it A, Lemon, B, Jefferson, C, Henry, or D, Frederick? Go ahead and ponder that, and at the end of the show, I'll be sure to give you the answer. Now, this is the only known photograph of Blind Lemon Jefferson, so if you need to jog your memory, this is it. This is all I've got for you. I searched the internet high and low, and this is the one photograph of Blind Lemon Jefferson, which adds to the blues mystique, and, well, it's just why you need to know this individual. Now, before I dig into my Guitar Geek list, we've discussed the trivia question. There's one more thing I want you to do for me. I have only listed 5 blues festivals. I know there are way more than that, and you might be sitting there thinking, Tone, I cannot believe you missed fill-in-the-blank festival. I've gone to it for 10 years in a row. I love it. It's amazing. Everybody needs to know about it. If that's the case, all you have to do is in the comments below, let me know. Let us know. Let the Guitar Geek community know what's one blues festival that you love. And this way, we'll compile an incredible resource for all of us Guitar Geeks to say, oh, I'm going to be in Kansas. There's an incredible blues festival there because Johnny T let me know. So in the comments below, let me know of a blues festival that you either love and have gone to, or there's one that is on your radar that you plan on going to that maybe I didn't mention. List it in the comments below, and in a future episode, I'll reveal some of those blues festivals for us all. In fact, I'd love for us all to close out 2020 thinking, man, that one episode, that first episode of January 2020, we were talking about blues festivals, I actually did it. And the Guitar Geek community helped me because we all were able to share our love for the blues and the festivals that we love. So again, in the comments below, let me know where you're going this summer and what blues festival you plan on attending. Now, it's cold here in Bozeman, I'm not gonna lie. You know, it's New Year's, it's the first week of January, and it's just plain cold. Whitney and I are moving to a new house, and we picked, you know, January to move, which is great because it's freezing. But nonetheless, it's freezing here, and, you know, I picture myself getting away from Bozeman, and what better place, cheap flights, go to Las Vegas, right? Well, I'm going to just imagine that we all, as a Guitar Geek community, hopped on one plane, and we're all going to go to Vegas right now. We're going to go visit Brendan and Toby for their first newscast of 2020. Yes, they're going to give us the scoop from the front lines. So let's head down to Vegas and check in with Brendan and Toby.
Thanks, Tony. Guys, Happy New Year. It's Brendan from Heartbreaker Guitars, along with my sidekick here, Toby the Beagle. And welcome to not only the Heartbreaker of the Month, but the newscast. This month, January, we've decided to actually combine the two. Normally, we do one of each. Each month, we'll do a Heartbreaker of the Month, where we select a killer guitar from our inventory, and we bring you the news. We've got the NAMM show coming up. We talked about that. We're going to bring you guys all the footage from NAMM. But guys, at this time, I want to introduce to you Legends in Lieu 3. This is a project we've already talked about on Tony's show. And basically what it is two legendary luthiers, Rick Turner and Richard Hoover of Santa Cruz Guitar Company. And they have come together to build the most amazing twin set of guitars. The three of us, Rick Turner and Richard Hoover, got together about 7-8 months ago and we discussed this project where we were gonna have Rick and Richard build twin guitars with the same specs, same components, same wood, same everything, and they would be kind of complementary instruments. Now the Model 1 is kind of known as the acoustic guitar player's electric guitar. And then Santa Cruz also builds a FS model, which is the finger style. So these are kind of like complementary instruments. And the most exciting thing about this project, you guys, is the wood that they used is reclaimed from a bridge in Yosemite National Park that was built in 1928. The bridge was later destroyed in the Rim Fire of 2013. Richard Hoover got a hold of this redwood, this historical redwood, and they have used that to build the Legends in Lieu 3.
So it's been a real pleasure to build a couple of crosstown guitars times 10. Your acoustic, my electric, that match. You know, that's pretty close, I think, don't you? Yeah.
We went back to Santa Cruz to visit Rick and Richard to find out everything there was to know about the guitar. Actually, we got to see them building and working together. These guys are old friends. Their shops are like 3 miles apart. And the story goes that Richard Hoover actually talked Rick Turner into moving to Santa Cruz way back in the day. And since then, they've become great friends and they've known each other almost 50 years. So guys, this is an incredible project. It's a story of friendship. It's a story of reclamation. It's a story that spans and focuses on the relationship between Rick Turner and Richard Hoover that goes back almost 50 years. Okay, so as mentioned, we have that historical redwood top. For the back and sides, we've got master grade Honduran mahogany. We've got a really cool 12 fret inlay that says Legends in Lieu 3, and then underneath, they've actually inlaid Rick and Richard's signatures. So it's so cool. The Model 1 guitar by Rick Turner is loaded. It's got the full electronics package. It's got the piezo option with blending electronics. It's got the parametric EQ. Again, both finger style focused guitars that are essentially twin guitars. And guys, we haven't even put these things up for sale yet, and the phone's blowing up. People are going crazy for these things. They don't actually get officially unveiled until NAMM 2020, which is just in a few short weeks. So anyway, the Legends in Lieu 3 project is gonna blow everybody's mind. Okay, guys, we wanna give you a quick taste of these guitars. So we're gonna go to Juan John for a demo on the Rick Turner first. So Juan John, let's hear it, man.
Here is going to be
your frequency control.
Yeah.
As to where that big bump is happening.
Okay, so. Oh, see, there it is.
That was awesome, Juan John. Thanks, man. Now, let's take a look at the Richard Hoover Santa Cruz Guitar Company acoustic finger style. Let's see.
sound just like the record.
The Legends in Lutheran is going to be a historical project that is already met with rave reviews. So do check out Legends in Lutheran by Rick Turner Guitars and Richard Hoover of Santa Cruz Guitar Company. Happy holidays, happy new year. And Tony, thanks for letting us be a part of your awesome show. Guitar junkies and geeks, do unite, and we will see you next time.
I want to thank Brendan for that special news report and featuring those guitars. I mean, it's really awesome to see an idea like this come together, because I know when I was first getting into guitar and ordering guitars when I worked in Chicago, you think that every guitar manufacturer is kind of like in this race. I'm a competitive guy, so you think that, oh, they're all competing. But to see that it's actually this really small family of ultimately friends that kind of do their own thing, This project is evidence of that. In fact, to see Rick Turner and Richard Hoover come together and make these instruments inspired by the same thing, it's so cool. I mean, I'll use Brendan's words. And one of the other things that struck me, there's actually a couple observations here. The first thing, talking about that redwood top from that bridge. So that bridge was built in the 20s. And it looked like a lot of those pieces were pretty large, those pieces of wood. So you think if the bridge was built in the 20s, right, and the trees that were used, that were harvested for that wood, had to be that big, how old were those trees? I mean, you're talking trees probably from the 1600s or 1700s. I mean, I'm not like a wood scientist or anything, but it seems like that's some really incredible old growth wood. And only 10 pairs of those instruments. It's just kind of one of those magic moments that I love. I love the acoustic guitar family for this very reason. When I see stuff like this happen, when I see an idea go from someone's brain to actually happening, it's pure magic. So again, thank you, Brendan. Thank you, Rick Turner, Richard Hoover, and everybody at Heartbreaker Guitars as well for getting behind such a cool project. Second thing, you might be thinking, Tone, why did you include those on the blues episode? Did you hear Juan John play? The guy can rip. And side note, he looks like the guy from Disturbed. The lead singer of Disturbed, David Draiman, he looks exactly like that guy. Now, I regretfully did not, I wasn't able to meet Juan John when I went to Vegas back in October, or in September that was. But my next trip, I do plan on meeting him because he's just an awesome player and I might ask for his autograph on a Disturbed album. Just because. One more note on Vegas before we move forward. Speaking of blues festivals, I did notice there's a blues festival in Vegas from September 10th through the 13th. It's called the Big Blues Bender. Now, the reason it didn't make my list is because it was predominantly electric, but they've pulled in some incredible acts. Marcus King Band, Government Mule, I want to say Buddy Guy, amongst many, many others. So if you're planning a trip to Vegas in September, make sure that's on your radar. Go to the festival, visit Heartbreaker Guitars, buy yourself a new pair of guitars, the Legends in Lutheran guitars. I mean, it's magical guitars. Guitar geek trip, really. Just don't tell your spouse or significant other about it because it might lead to some inner turmoil. Anyways, you get the idea. I want to actually visit a past episode of Acoustic Tuesday right now. Back on episode 122, we talked about Christmas songs, we talked about holiday songs, we talked about how lame some holiday songs are, but how when you infuse them and find the right ones, the acoustic ones, of course, well, it makes the holidays that much brighter and that much more merry. And in that episode, I asked, hey, I listed off 10 or so of my favorite holiday songs. What are your favorites? Well, holy smokes, did you guitar geeks speak up? I've got a whole slew of them here. Old Harley Dude says this, Harvey Reed's Heart of the Minstrel on Christmas Day. I'm a big fan of Harvey Reed, and I'll definitely be checking that out. Thank you for that comment. Next, Randy Worley says, Randy from East Tennessee, great show as always. The Dan Crary and David Grisman Christmas albums have been part of my collection for a long time. I also really like An American Christmas by Norman Blake. I had never heard of that, but now I'm going to check it out. The next comment comes from Gary D. He says, Tony Rice, my favorite things. You might also check out the earlier influential saxophone version by John Coltrane. I had never known that Tony Rice recorded that song, and I'll check it out. Next up, Anthony DeVito says this, Emil Ernebro, Winter Jazz, needs to be on this list, and he needs to be on your show. Yes, he does. In fact, I checked out Emil, I'm going to try and say this right, Ernebro, I hopefully said that right. I don't think I did, but we'll go with it. Wow, what an incredible fingerstyle player. Awesome tone, and Winter Jazz is fantastic. So that should definitely be on your list. That was just a few of the recommendations that came through. Sean DeBurka recommended Trevor Gordon Hall. Jennifer Johns recommended Brad Paisley and his acoustic version of Away in a Manger. There was a recommendation for a Chet Atkins album. If you want any acoustic holiday song recommendation, please visit the comments of episode 122. I think you'll be amazed at some of the awesome, awesome musicians that were brought up in the comments section. Speaking of comments, our next comment comes from Isidore Alire, and she says this: The lilting tremolo that Molly Tuttle has reminds me a little of Alison Krauss. Sweet pitch, and both can hit beautiful high notes along with the ones mortal folk have been left with. Totally agree. When I listen to Molly Tuttle, I definitely think of Alison Krauss, Sierra Hall. In fact, on that show, Sharon T. had also mentioned that Molly Tuttle, Sierra Hall, Alison Krauss all have voices that are incredibly angelic. So I agree completely. Next comment, Mr. Phil says this: Merry Christmas. Just started watching your channel a few weeks ago as I'm in the process of looking for my first real, true, fine acoustic guitar. And you've got some great info. Well, thanks for watching, Mr. Phil. As for the Christmas music, I'm kind of fond of Christmas Grass, Brian Sutton, Cody Kilby, and many more. Can't go wrong with that, eh? Also, I'd recommend Dougie McLean's version of Auld Lang Syne. I am so pumped you brought this up because I had no clue that Brian Sutton, Cody Kilby, and what sounds like a bunch of other bluegrass artists created a Christmas album, so that is definitely on my list. Thank you for the recommendation. Our next comment was really more of an answering of a question I posed during our Christmas episode, because National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is a longtime favorite Christmas movie of mine. It has to be watched every year, multiple times. It's such a quotable movie. I had just simply thrown out the question, hey, what's your favorite quote from that movie? And again, you guitar geeks, you're on my page. You answered the call. So first up, we've got Nicholas Totoro saying, "Don't piss me off, Art," which is an awesome quote. Next, Ray Matoza Jr. picked two amazing quotes. First, "And pick up something nice for yourself." And then next, "It's a quality item, Clark." Pretty awesome. And then Isidore, she hit the nail on the head, because this is probably the most quotable line in the entire movie. And it is, I believe, now Isidore wrote "sh**ers clogged," but I believe it's "sh**ers full." And this is when Cousin Eddie is emptying his trailer's septic into the sewer, which later then explodes when the grandfather puts out his cigar. He gets his wig blown off. It's a magical Christmas moment. Anyways. And a studio favorite is when they're eating and Clark is describing how Santa's sleigh was sighted, and Cousin Eddie's eating, and he pauses. Kids are all excited. He pauses and he looks at Clark. He says, "You serious, Clark?" That's a studio favorite, because it's just a magical moment. Anyways, I digress. That movie is, it's a favorite of mine, not just during the Christmas season. Let's just say that. Anyways, our next comment, more guitar related, kind of hockey related. It's the same thing, right? Comes from Alan Givens. And he says this: "Tony, where'd you get that Blackhawks jersey? I have an authentic white home jersey, but would like a black one. Thanks for all you do. Cheers and Merry Christmas." So the black Blackhawks jersey that I wear, there's two of them, both involved with last year's Winter Classic. So if you look for Winter Classic 2019, 2018, you'll be able to see that black jersey. And then there's also a practice jersey that kind of matches the same set. Okay, that was more hockey and less guitar. But this next one, I promise, is about guitar. And this comment comes from Stefan Brunet, who I had the pleasure of meeting at last year's Acoustic Life Festival. And he says this: "Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, Tony, and all of the TAC team. 2019 was my best Acoustic Life year so far. I was able to go to the Acoustic Life Festival, play an open mic, play with a bandmate, go to my first jam, played some tunes at a family party, and finally a few weeks ago played one song at a pub where my friend was playing a gig. Wow, what a great year of acoustic guitar. Thanks again, Tony, for giving me the motivation to go through all these small, great wins." So cool, and I can't say thank you enough, Stefan, for sharing that, and also for just putting yourself out there and doing it. I met Stefan in June of last year at the festival, and it was such a fun time. We talked about hockey, we talked about guitar, we talked about having kind of that that greater purpose behind your guitar journey, if you will. And it was just a great discussion. And I'm so glad to see that 2019 was a year just full of small wins for you, and hopefully for all of you guitar geeks that are watching the show. So thank you for sharing that, Stefan. And our last comment comes from Jonathan Meyer, and he says this: Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, Tony, and all of the TAC team. 2019 was my best... Oh, I did the wrong comment. Way to go, Tony. Way to go. I should just read it off the screen, shouldn't I? Ladies and gentlemen, this is where copy and paste gets you into trouble. Let me go ahead and read the comment from my prompter here. Jonathan Meyer says this: Great show as always, Tony. And since he was mentioned in this episode, I have a cool guitar geek story about Stephen Bennett, I've been wanting to share. My father did some construction work on his house. The old man that worked with my dad at the time told Bennett, I hear you're a hotshot guitar player, but I don't know if it's true. I haven't heard you play yet. So when they were finishing up with the final touches, Stephen Bennett busted out a guitar and a chair and sat outside and played for them while they were working. I can't think of a cooler guitar geek moment than working on an incredible guitar player's house, challenging him, and then having him answer that call by sitting down and treating you to a very private solo performance. So cool, and Stephen Bennett sounds like a dude that I want to hang out with. Sounds like a cool guy. And Jonathan, thank you for sharing that story. I always appreciate all the comments you all leave on the Acoustic Tuesday show. It's so cool to kind of get to know you through the comments and ultimately create this guitar geek community discussion where we're all helping one another, recommending things, and just kind of helping each other live our best acoustic life. And speaking of acoustic life and the Acoustic Tuesday show, you can support the Acoustic Tuesday show by purchasing Acoustic Tuesday merchandise. Yes, you can wave your guitar geek flag proudly when you go to a show, when you go to a jam, when you're walking down the street, heck, when you're getting ready for bed. You can purchase Acoustic Tuesday or Acoustic Life merchandise at acoustictuesday.store. Pick out your favorite shirt, your favorite sweatshirt, your favorite socks. I think there's socks on there. And please sport them around town. How cool would it be to go to a show and you're wearing your Acoustic Tuesday merchandise and you see somebody else wearing the same merchandise and you know you can go up and say hi because you know they're a guitar geek. Anyways, here's what I want you to do. After you order a shirt, that's of course step one. Put that shirt on and take a picture of yourself at a show, at a jam, in your living room, hanging out, on vacation, whatever the case may be. Show us that you're sporting your Acoustic Tuesday merchandise and then submit it at acousticlife.tv. There's a submit link in the top menu. Click on that. You can upload your picture, tell us your story, and of course, I'll feature you on an upcoming episode of Acoustic Tuesday. Coming up next, we got the mailbag. Yes, even during the holidays, we get mail, and I'm excited because I think you're going to be... Well, I think you're going to be excited at the mail I received because there's some giveaway items in here. Yes, I'll be giving away some items on a future Acoustic Tuesday show, and I think you're going to be very excited about them because, well, I'm excited, and it's my favorite guitar accessory. Hold on, I'll get there. First up, I want to thank Billy from Picker's Grip, who not only sent me a wonderful Christmas gift of some more Picker's Grip, which I was almost out of, a nice Christmas card, and a couple of awesome Picker's Grip t-shirts, which are available on his site. And by the way, I don't know if I've gushed on Picker's Grip enough, but especially during the summer months when things get hot and humid, Picker's Grip is an absolute necessity because your pick doesn't spin, you don't lose grip, it doesn't slip around, and it's all natural, it's all good. This is not an advertisement. I just love the stuff and I want you to know about it. It's inexpensive and a great addition to your acoustic guitar toolkit. The next thing is a great, great item that I want to share with you. One of my dear friends at Santa Cruz Guitar Company is Carolyn Sills. They just released a new album, the Carolyn Sills Combo. So she sent me an album, a sticker. I also got a shirt, which I'm super pumped about. Roaring into 2020, supporting my local band. I love that. I love this logo. It's fantastic. I love the type. I love the silhouette. It's very Marty Robbins-ish. Dig it. And then also she sent me some strings, so thank you, Carolyn. I really appreciate that. I was running low. And she also, well, she loves the Acoustic Tuesday viewing audience, she also sent a box of mid-tension strings and a box of low-tension strings. And I'll be giving these strings away on a future episode of Acoustic Tuesday. Not all, well, yes, all of these, but I'll be giving away 12 pairs of mid and low tension strings, and you just have to keep watching Acoustic Tuesday to figure out when that's going to be. So I'm excited to give those away. I want to thank Santa Cruz Guitar Company and, of course, Carolyn for sending that. I want to thank Billy at Picker's Grip, and holy smokes, it was a good mailbag. It was like a Christmas after Christmas. You know, you open the presents, and you kind of have that letdown, like, oh, there's no more presents to open. And then you show up at the studio, and there's a bunch of boxes on your desk, and you dig in, and it's like Christmas all over again. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. It's lovely. It's absolutely lovely. Dom and Sharon got me this bobblehead. I feel the love. I feel the love is what I'm trying to say, and I appreciate it. And hopefully you guitar geeks feel the love as well. Now, I want to tell you a little bit of a story, which is going to bring me to the next feature in today's show. The next feature is an artist named Gary Houston. Now, Gary Houston might not be a name you're super familiar with, but I can assure you after this segment, you will be. I was backstage talking with Charlie Parr after they were sound checking here at the Rialto Theater in Bozeman. And as I mentioned earlier, he hands me this coloring book. And it's the Waterfront Blues Festival, all the posters from the Waterfront Blues Festival. And I've leafed through it, and I'm amazed. We're talking about all the art, and Gary had just done a poster for Charlie's shows. And I thought, man, this guy really does amazing stuff. Who is this person? I didn't know at this point. So I flipped through the book. I'm just taking it all in. I love it. It's very blues-infused art. The back cover says, all art by Gary Houston. And I thought to myself, well, as a guitar geek, I now have an obligation to dig deeper and see who the hell is this Gary Houston character. Well, it turns out he's an incredible artist, and one of his specialties is music and concert posters, and he has done the Waterfront Blues Festival poster for some many, many years. I don't know the exact number, but pretty far back from what I can tell. And I found his website, but I also found a great interview that describes his work, how he approaches it, and you'll also see some wonderful samples. So here's that interview with Gary Houston.
Quite honest, to sit in front of a computer screen sounds like one of the most boring things to do on the planet, you know, and it's just like a big snoozer, you know, whereas, you know, if you're drawing, you're just like, you're always at odds with yourself. And I like those days where I can't draw my way out of a paper bag. And then there are those days where it's not me, it's the pencil. And the pencil, you don't want to even pick it up because it just wants to. It's like it has a mind of its own. And so I can't take credit for any of that. You know, I can take credit for those days where I can't draw my way out of a paper bag, but those days where it's the pencil, well, that's like this magic thing that happens. When we started out, oh, Yada Yada's coming to town. I want to do, you know, something. And then you would do it, and you know, it would be your way to get into the show. You know, you always hear that's kind of everybody's little, the crux of the matter. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, we get to go to shows for free. You know, it's just like, yeah, you don't care about how much work and stuff. You just think like, oh, I can go do this for, you know, and scoot in. You know, which kind of sounds kind of stupid at this point in life, but, you know, it's like we're here to impart information, but I think maybe sometimes we live in this world where we're having so much information crammed down our throats that maybe it's better to give the least amount of information. I always thought that there are certain bands where you could just put an image on and never even have to put their name on. So you just have an image and a, you know, a date and maybe a locale. That's it. I have this habit of driving.
So first I have to thank Charlie and Dee for turning me on to Gary Houston's work. It's incredible, and I would never have known about it if it weren't for that discussion. So thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Dee. Secondly, what I want to cite here is that I think as a guitar geek, we can appreciate what Gary's talking about, because he was saying, you know, some days I can't even draw myself out of a paper bag. Other days, it's like the pencil just does all the work for me, and I don't even want to let go because it's magic. And I thought immediately, I'm like, that is just like guitar playing. Because some days, it's like you sit down with your guitar and you just wrestle it, and you're like, why is nothing falling under my fingers? And then other days, It's like you don't want to put the guitar down because it's just everything's just flowing. It's awesome. So I thought you would all be able to appreciate that from the guitar geek standpoint, kind of applying that that parallel to us playing guitar as Gary did his own work. Now, I want you to check out Gary's work because that little snippet of a video only shows a mere fraction of what he's put out. So if you want to go to his website, just visit acousticlife.tv/AT124, and you'll be able to get a link to Gary's website where you can find videos about his process, also see samples of his work, and also order concert posters. And if you're a guitar geek like me, you're probably already clearing space in your guitar den to put up posters. There's some great Charlie Parr posters, some cool Grateful Dead-inspired stuff. The list goes on and on. There's Taj Mahal stuff. I mean, you got to check out his site. So again, go to acousticlife.tv/AT124 to get links to his site and to see that full interview. That's just a short snippet that I showed you. In fact, I cut off one of the portions where he says, he's describing his studio and he says, it's like an adult romper room with alcohol. And I thought, man, I think this Gary guy is somebody I'd really get along with. But anyways, a fantastic artist, and probably, chances are you've seen one of his posters and maybe haven't even realized it, but he is definitely the man behind that artwork. So moving on, what I'd like to do right now is, if you have a helmet nearby, go ahead and put that on. Just fake like you're putting on a seatbelt, because we're about to hop in the time machine. I want to visit our artist of the week, but we have to go way back. I'm talking to the 1900s, 1910s, 1920s, and yes, our artist of the week was inspired by our trivia question, or rather, maybe it was vice versa. Our trivia in question was inspired by our artist of the week. Yes, it's Blind Lemon Jefferson. Fantastic artist and somebody you absolutely need to know. You need to know this individual if you love the blues. You need to know this individual if you're just starting to love the blues, and you need to know this individual if you're an acoustic guitar player, period. If you've never heard one of his songs, well, now is your time, because we're going to listen to See That My Grave Is Kept Clean.
One kind favor I ask of you. What is one kind favor I ask of you? Lord, it's one kind favor I'll ask of you. See that my grave is kept clean.
And yes, there's that infamous picture again, the only picture of Blind Lemon Jefferson in existence, to the best of my knowledge. If there's another one, somebody please let me know in the comments because I'd love to see it. But he uses like a shoestring for a guitar strap. I thought that was pretty cool. Nonetheless, let's focus on his actual guitar style. It's one of the most driving styles I've found in that he's able to kind of punch the rhythm and drive the song along all the while singing. And really, one of the things that astounds me is that that's just one individual playing a guitar and singing, and there's no space. The space is filled perfectly and pristinely, and it just fits the song. It's pure blues magic, and Blind Lemon Jefferson is somebody you absolutely need to know. In fact, we're going to listen to another song here entitled Black Snake Moan, and you can hear his guitar prowess in this song. Check it out.
Crawling in my room. Black snake crawling in my room. And some pretty mama had better come in. Get this black snake soon.
Now, I want you to see an album by Blind Lemon Jefferson. Actually, it's a box set, but we're not gonna reveal that quite yet because I have a little detour I want to take us on. I'm doing some research for Blind Lemon Jefferson. I was sucked into the YouTube black hole pretty quickly, and I found out about this movie released in, I believe, 1976 entitled Lead Belly, which was kind of a 70s version of I guess you can call it a biopic. I think that's what they call them. Anyway, it's a movie based on Lead Belly's life. Obviously, Lead Belly wasn't starring in it. But in one of the scenes, Blind Lemon Jefferson makes an appearance. The actor. Blind Lemon Jefferson wasn't an actor. The actor portraying Blind Lemon Jefferson makes an appearance. And they're on a train. It's a cool exchange. And it's just a funny scene. It has nothing to do with Blind Lemon Jefferson being an amazing musician. It's just a funny scene. And I thought, you know, as guitar geeks, you probably want to know about this movie. It's entitled Lead Belly. And here's the clip I'm talking about.
me by the hand.
Catch me by the hand.
Oh, baby.
Baby, baby.
Blind living was a blind man. Silver City bound. Silver City bound. Hey, tell my baby I'm Silver City bound.
You've been boozing all night in that saloon. You can't drive. You drunk.
You blind.
Okay, so here's the deal. You need to order this box set because here's what happens. Blind Lemon Jefferson has only a finite number of songs because he's deceased and he only recorded so much. And a lot of these songs make their appearance on various rough guides and best ofs and things like that. But I want you to have the entire catalog because I think it's a catalog that's worthy of diving into, which brings me to this very box set. It's the complete 94 classic sides remastered. It's put out by, I believe the company is JSP. More on that in a second. But this contains all the songs recorded by Blind Lemon Jefferson. One stop. It's four CDs, I should say. It's less than $25. I want to say it's like $22 on Amazon. To get a link to that, please visit acousticlife.tv/AT124. You'll be able to listen to those songs I mentioned in their entirety, see that entire movie clip, and of course have a link to that very box set. And again, the company is called JSP that does the box sets, and I want you to remember that because JSP puts out some of the coolest early country, old-timey, and early blues box sets that you're able to find. I'm talking like entire catalogs of these artists that we know, that we love, that we admire. And the box sets are pretty inexpensive from my recollection. I used to order them for the store in Chicago, and I loved them. I thought they were so cool because it's just this complete, almost encyclopedia of these artists' music. And Blind Lemon Jefferson luckily has one of those box sets available. So make sure to check that out. I was corrected also by the Avalanche fan in the room that it is a biopic, not a biopic. And, you know, every now and again, I say some wrong stuff, and it takes a Colorado Avalanche fan to correct me. And I have to listen because they are supremely skilled in the hockey department. And it kills me to say that. Kills me. So thanks, Avalanche fan. Well, we're about ready to wrap things up on today's show. And, well, we have to revisit your Guitar Geek trivia question, which was, of course, inspired by, well, our Artist of the Week, Blind Lemon Jefferson. So, as a quick recap, here was your Guitar Geek trivia question. What was Blind Lemon Jefferson's true first name? Now, this can be a little difficult, so let me give you your options again if you want to make a last-minute choice. Was it A, Lemon, B, Jefferson, C, Henry, or D, Frederick? Well, if you answered A, Lemon, you're correct. Lemon Henry Jefferson, also known as Blind Lemon Jefferson, was born blind near Couchman, Texas. He was the youngest of seven, or possibly eight. I love that little parenthetical. Or possibly eight children born to Alex and Clarissa Jefferson, who were African-American sharecroppers. Jefferson began playing the guitar in his early teens, and soon after he began performing at picnics and parties. He became a street musician, playing in East Texas towns in front of barbershops and on street corners. In the early 1910s, Jefferson began traveling frequently to Dallas, where he met and played with the blues musician Leadbelly, as that movie would show. Where was I here? Jefferson was one of the earliest and most prominent figures in the blues movement developing in the Deep Ellum section of Dallas. It's likely that he moved to Deep Ellum on a more permanent basis by 1917, which brings me full circle back to that movie clip because I wonder how often Blind Lemon Jefferson sat behind the driver's seat and tried to drive because Leadbelly was maybe too intoxicated to do so. And it was safer to choose a blind person to drive the car as opposed to the intoxicated person. I just don't know how historically accurate that is, but I'm sure that biopic sheds a little bit more light on that. Anyways, that's about it for Acoustic Tuesday, episode 124. I can't believe another episode is in the books. Our first episode of 2020. If I hadn't said it yet, Happy New Year to you, Guitar Geeks. I'm excited to make this our best year as a Guitar Geek community yet, our best year of Acoustic Tuesday, and our best year of an acoustic life. And just to get us rolling, I want to take a sneak peek into next week to see what's going to happen on Acoustic Tuesday. Well, next week on Acoustic Tuesday, the Blues Train rolls forward with an episode dedicated, check this out, to well-known electric blues players who were caught red-handed playing the acoustic guitar. Yes, we're going to look at some of my favorite electric blues players and their performances on acoustic. I'm excited to launch into that countdown, but we can't do that until next week because you can only handle so much blues per week, otherwise your Guitar Geek brain will explode. And I don't want to have that on my conscience. I don't want to hear about Guitar Geek brains exploding because then I won't be able to sleep at night. And I love the blues, and I want you to love the blues, and I want you to have a brain to be able to process all the blues that's coming your way. So that's happening next week on Acoustic Tuesday. Remember, you can catch Acoustic Tuesday every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time here on YouTube. And for your Acoustic Tuesday fix in between Tuesdays, please visit AcousticLife.tv where you can do a deep dive on anything I've ever discussed on any Acoustic Tuesday show. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for watching today. And remember, Guitar Geeks unite. Cheers.